Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the propaganda wars when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong, very wrong, with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, our public institutions, and our national consciousness. So that now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And now they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, commandments, and penalties, as well as the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. And you don't have to know what the penalty to a law is in order to suffer from its effect. Now, whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it works automatically, just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about propaganda wars and deception. It would be a travesty here if we got to this stage of our discussion and we failed to discuss, well, what do we do to avoid being propagandized? What do we do to avoid being deceived? How do we guard? How do we ferret out the truth? So I took you through the Kwok Ting test. It's the legal modality that we use in order to determine whether or not somebody's telling us the truth. And then we're taking a look now at the propaganda wars. Actually, the title of the book is called Warriors of Disinformation. Very appropriate title. It's written by a guy named Alvin A. Snyder. You need a copy of the book. Then when you get through with the book, you put that together with the Kwok Ting test. Doesn't mean that you'll never be deceived again. It means that every time you're deceived, you will now have the 23 tools that we use to uncover the truth. Remember from Kwok Ting, when we talk about cross-examination, we have 23 modalities. So what we do here at the law school, we train our students in Wellman on the art of cross-examination. Then we show them how to use the Kwok Ting test. Then we take up Warriors of Disinformation and show you how you have been lied to and deceived in the past, the typical modalities that have been used so successfully with so much effect over the past 400 or 500 years. I mean, this thing of lying to people, you know, governments and the church and religious leaders have been lying to us for thousands of years. Hell, this goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. You know, it was Satan that deceived Eve coming right out of the chute. And he deceived her by telling her the truth. But he didn't tell her the whole truth. He didn't give her all the facts. She didn't have all of the information that she needed to make an informed decision. She made her decision based upon some of the facts, and some of the facts she had were true, which is the genius behind the propaganda wars. What we're going to do is use the truth to make you believe a lie. That's the genius behind it. And Alvin A. Snyder was an insider, retired now, but he was an insider with the United States Information Agency, which is the agency which is charged with the duty of lying to us and making us believe it. And that's their function. That's what they're there for. Now, we have spies, and normally a spy is an American who goes over to Russia, keeps his eyes and ears open, comes back and reports on what he sees over there. That's a spy. Now, a more effective spy is when you have a Russian who is over there already, and he's spying on the Russians and then giving the information to the American to take back to our side on our side. But an even more effective spy is an American who is a spy for the Americans who goes over to the Russian side and reveals that he is an American agent who is a spy for the Americans, but he is turning his allegiance over to the Russians so that now he becomes a double agent. It even gets more complex when you have a triple agent. This is an agent whose real allegiance is to the Russians, but he's an American, who is an American agent who goes over to the Russians and then reveals to the Americans that he's gone over to the Russians and now he has their confidence so that he can be an agent for the Americans spying on the Russians. But in reality, his allegiance is with the Russians and he's really spying on the Americans and giving the information to the Russians. Are you confused? Well, I think Shakespeare summed it up when he said, "Oh, what webs we weave when at first we seek to deceive." And so the objective here is deception. Now, the president sometimes lies to us. The other day he was lying to us. He said, "Well, we're in a slowdown, but we're not in a recession." He knows better than that. But as the president of the United States, he can't come out and tell you the truth. Yes, we're in a recession. Now, if I was you, I'd quit spending, tuck in your spending belt, and we're going to have some tough times ahead. See, what that'll do is that'll exacerbate the whole process. So in order to mitigate that process, what we do is we put up a false front. We say, well, you know, there's a slowdown, but we're not in a recession, and I don't think we're going to go into a recession. Hell, boys and girls, we've been in recession. I showed you this last time. Hell, we've been in recession since 2000. And I think if you took a look at the truth of the matter, that all of this growth, you know, that you hear these people talking about over here is really just a fiction, but I'll leave that to you. You can figure it out probably. Now let's take a look at what are we going to do if we want to know the truth, if we want to avoid being propagandized. There's an old adage out here that says, you can fool all of the people some of the time. And you can fool some of the people all of the time. But it says you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And that in itself is a manifest disservice. It's a manifest falsehood. It's propaganda. The truth is you can deceive all of the people all of the time. And how do I know that? Because God himself told us that. See, the guy that always tells the truth and never lies is our Creator. And he says that the whole world has been deceived. If that statement is true, then everybody in the world has been, past tense, deceived. Now that is unbelievable. And so it's easier to believe the lie that you can fool all of the people some of the time and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. That's a lie, but it's more believable than the truth that the whole world has been deceived. That's the genius behind the propaganda wars, because the truth is unbelievable and the lie is believable. So what we have to do is to package this up so that it fits in to the minds of the average Joe Sixpack. And Joe Sixpack then will believe the lie because the lie is more believable than the truth. We'll take a look at that a little later. Let me show you the book that you need. It's called Warriors of Disinformation. So get that down. The author's name is Alvin A. Snyder. Now, if you're having a problem finding it or you don't find it right away, you go to bravenewbookstore.com. It's on the web, bravenewbookstore.com. And they'll have the book. They sent it to me. They wanted me to review it, and so I'm reviewing the book. Now, they're booksellers, and they want to sell books. And I don't get paid for selling their books. And I'm not here to tell you to buy this book from that bookstore. If you can get it cheaper somewhere else, go to it. But my point is, if you can't find it anywhere else and you need a source to find it, then the Brave New Bookstore is the place to find it, because you don't find books like this just everywhere, especially when they've been, you know, printed years ago. Now, this one here, let's see when this thing was first printed. And I think the thing is in print right now. It was first copyrighted in 1995 by Alvin A. Snyder. So, you know, it's 13 years old. So, can you find a 13-year-old book? The answer is yes, you can. Used bookstores have them. And if you can't find it online at the used bookstore, then you go to Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble have it. If Barnes & Noble doesn't have it, and you can't find it anywhere else, and you go to bravenewbookstore.com, you order it online. Their phone number is 512-480-2503. Again, that number is 512-480-2503. This is the place to start. First thing we need to figure out is, does the United States government lie to United States citizens? And the answer is absolutely, unequivocally, yes, they do. Have they lied to us in the past? Absolutely. Are they lying to us now? You bet your life on it. Are they going to lie to us in the future? You can take it to the bank. So what we need to figure out is, well, when are they lying to us, and how are they accomplishing this, and how do they get us to believe these lies? Very simple. The lie is easier to believe than the truth. Now, I remember the morning that the Twin Towers were run into by those two airplanes, and And my wife, I was teaching class that day, my wife came down, and she said, oh my God, you've got to come up and watch the TV. An airplane flew into one of the trade towers in New York. Now, that wasn't too surprising, because during World War II, toward the end of the war, an Air Force B-25, an Army Air Force at the time, B-25 flew into the Empire State Building in the fog. So it's not unheard of. You know, it's unusual, but, you know, it's happened in the past, and it'll probably happen again in the future. But it never entered my mind that somebody would do that on purpose. And the reason for that is that I don't know about you, but, you know, my mind doesn't work quite like that. I could not conceive of somebody deliberately flying an airplane into a building because of the damage and the loss of life that it would cause. In other words, I can see people killing themselves. People commit suicide all the time. But the idea, you know, that somebody would do that on purpose is a level of wickedness and evil that my mind wasn't prepared to accept. I never had seen or heard of anything like that before. So if you would have suggested to me that somebody would fly an airplane into a building, you know, I would reject it. And that's because it's unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable now, you know, now that we've seen it done, you know, we can, oh my God, yeah, there's people out there that would do that. Now, immediately after this, you know, while this is going on, nobody knew who did it or why. Now, normally, you know, in an investigation, it takes a few months to come to a conclusion, but about, I don't know, it was the next day, I think it was, the FBI came out and said, well, we know the 20 hijackers that hijacked these four airplanes. Well, excuse me. You know, right away, that should send up some signals. You know, if you know the day after the names of the people that did the act, then you must have had some information before the act was committed. Now, it's true that these airlines, you know, they have passenger lists. But how do you know which passengers did what? Now, the story, remember from the Warriors of Disinformation, Mr. Snyder points out that in order to make propaganda work, you have to strike first, and you've got to be the first one out there with the most information. And so this fit perfectly with the towers' destruction. Immediately, the FBI was out, hey, we got the names, we got the list, 20, they're Muslims. And so it's Muslim terrorism. Yeah, that's what it is. So immediately they planted that in our minds, coming right out of the chute. Now, you and I didn't have a clue as to what was going on. Now, over the years that have gone by, now we've got the slow motion pictures of those buildings being demolished with explosive charges. So now the question arises, well, whose airplanes were those? So you take a look at the blown up pictures of the airliners and the testimony of some eyewitnesses, and they said they were watching it. The airplane didn't have any windows inside. Airliners have windows on the sides of them. The one airplane that first hit the first tower didn't have any windows inside of it. All right, so that tells you that wasn't an airliner. Now, the purpose for this isn't to rehash 9/11. The purpose of this is so that we can get an understanding of how the propaganda war works and how they seize control of your belief mechanism and then make you believe these lies. So I pointed out to you in a couple of programs over here, it starts with religion. The oldest known propaganda tool is religion. It controls people because of people's fear of the unknown. And that's because we're all motivated by our five motivators. So let's go back here and take a look at our five motivators. It's vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. So the first thing that we look at is what motivates you. And vanity is number one. You are a very vain person. People are created vain. And you're created to be jealous. And when you see somebody else with something, you want it. And you become envious and jealous. And this then motivates your lust. I'd like to have that. And then it motivates your greed. I'm going to take that away from that guy. And then the final one is fear. The reason I'm not going to take it away from that guy is because I'm afraid of the policeman and what he's going to do to me if I go over there and take that away from him. Because there's a law that says thou shalt not steal. So we're motivated by fear. Well, in religious circles, here's what they do to motivate your fear. They come along and say, well, if you're a good boy, you get to go to heaven. That excites your vanity. Yeah, I want to be one of the guys that goes to heaven while all of my adversaries go to hell. And if you're a bad guy, you're going to go to hell. And so the religious manipulators, they appeal to your vanity and your fear. And if you're a good boy, you go to heaven. If you're a bad boy, you're going to hell. And they picture this hell as being so bad that you'd do anything to avoid going to hell. And so whether you're a Muslim or you're a Christian or a Jew or whatever you are, you're motivated by these religious motivations. Now, they come along with a lot of little lies, like, let's take one like the rapture. Now, there's a lie. It's unscriptural. It doesn't come from the Bible. But then most people's religion doesn't come from the Bible. People are not motivated by the Bible as the guide for their religious beliefs. And most people, especially Christians, they couldn't find 2 Hezekiah 14:4 in the Bible at high noon with both hands in a red mat. And if you think you could, why don't you go ahead and look. Second Hezekiah 14:4. Just test me, and I'll just bet you can't find it. Now, as a result of our biblical ignorance here in the United States, we become prey then to the power of suggestion. And I explained the power of suggestion based upon Kwok Ting. It's one of the more powerful psychological options that you have in cross-examination. How high could you raise your arm before your accident? It's just a quiet suggestion, but the suggestion is overwhelming. And that's what body language is all about. So you can't control your body language. It's impossible. And that's because it's a part and parcel with your mental processes. Now, if I know that, then I know how to trigger your body responses. I know how to trigger your mental responses over here. I take advantage of it. So a salesman then, when he's trying to sell you this automobile, he's using propaganda. He's using his knowledge of psychology to work against you. So I always tell my students when they come into class, if you cannot control your five motivators, vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, you may rest assured that your master is going to jerk your strings and control you by the use of those five motivators. If you can't control yourself, then your handler is going to control you, one or the other. All right, so now if you want to be in control, then you have to be in control of your vanity. So then you have to have a good working knowledge of how does the salesman appeal to your vanity or to your jealousy, your lust, your greed, or your fear. So let's take a look at advertising. Advertising, in reality, is a part of the propaganda war. Now, I was first introduced to this concept or thought when I was a young man, probably 24 or 5 years old. I was in Meyer Plumbing, Oakland. I'm sitting on the parts stool. You know, I'm up at the parts counter. And I look up on the wall, and here's this girl, young girl, about, I'd say she's 18, 20 years old. And she's dressed in a bikini. Now, this is a plumbing shop. The only people that go into a plumbing shop are men. And the men that go into a plumbing shop are plumbers. And plumbers are all blue-collar workers. And this ad is aimed at plumbers because this girl is holding up a rigid pipe wrench. Rigid is a brand name of a pipe wrench. Well, not just pipe wrenches, but all kinds of wrenches and plumbing tools. Rigid tool company. She's standing here in high heels in a bikini with her right hand on a rigid pipe vise, and her left hand is holding up a rigid pipe tool. She is not wearing safety goggles. She doesn't have on steel-toed work shoes. She isn't wearing a hard hat. She's out on a construction site. And I looked at that and I said, that is absolutely stupid. And then I began to ask myself, what in the hell why is that? What's the purpose behind that? And it's selling rigid pipe tools. They want to sell rigid pipe tools. So how do we sell a rigid pipe vise? By putting this beautiful young girl right here next to it. And I looked at the girl and I said, I don't want to be out on a construction site with that girl. I want to be in bed with that girl. And then it dawned on me. I said, why, these guys are selling me rigid pipe tools by use of sex. What they're doing is they're appealing to my lust. That's pretty natural. I mean, I'm not condemning anybody because of their lust. You know, your creator designed you, and sex is a very powerful motivator. But should we be using sex to sell pipe wrenches? Would seem like to me that we should be using lust and sex to sell marriage. Maybe sell chastity, virginity. That maybe we ought to be using sex in a more lawful or a more logical manner. Well, what in the hell does sex have to do with selling pipe wrenches? Well, it has everything to do with selling pipe wrenches. Because the guy that's looking at this, the guy who's most likely to buy a rigid pipe wrench is the guy that puts the association between the mental image of the girl in the picture with a rigid pipe wrench. So that the next time he goes to buy a pipe wrench, he thinks about the girl. He thinks about the rigid pipe wrench. And then he buys a rigid pipe wrench. Here's another example of it. One day I'm sitting here watching TV, say, I'm watching a boob tube, and here comes a Mercury Montego ad. Now here's this slinky fox, and she's dressed in this black negligee. She's got black hair. I mean, this is one foxy chick. And she's laying on the hood of this Mercury Montego, and she has her head in her hand. And she's kind of propped up, you know, on her elbow with her head in her hand. Her hair is just blown straight out behind her, like this car is going down the road about 60 miles an hour. And this foxy chick is on this car, and then there's the salesman, and he's talking about the Mercury Montego, and he doesn't say anything about this girl on the roof of the car. Now, I got to ask you this. When was the last time you were driving down the freeway, and you passed a Mercury Montego with a foxy chick on the roof with her hair blowing out straight behind her? Have you ever seen anything like that? It's incongruous. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's preposterous. In fact, the wind would blow this woman off the roof. So what's the purpose for doing this? Because it plants in your mind a subliminal message. And the subliminal message is this. You buy the Mercury Montego and the girl goes with it. Now, intellectually, you know that isn't true. I mean, you know, you're not stupid. You know that when you buy this Mercury Montego, you're not going to get this woman. She doesn't go with the car. But in your mind, see, we've planted the seed. This is the power of suggestion. Oh, my God, look at the blood. That's the purpose behind that. It's to plant this in your mind. Now, your body language will act for itself. So when God told you that the whole world has been deceived, he told you the truth. Now, what we're lacking here is the perspective to put the truth together with what appears to be impossible, what appears to be a lie, and then sort the lies from the truth. I mean, there's truth out there, but then there's deception out there. And the guy that does the best job, in my view now, of putting this together, getting our feet on the ground, is this guy, Alvin Snyder, in this book called Warriors of Disinformation. Now, the religious guy, see, he doesn't come along and point out Revelation 12:9 and say, okay, now let's talk about deception. And that's because the religious guy is a deceiver. The last thing in the world he wants to do is to explain to you how deception works. Because if you ever teach a guy how to fish, the guy's going to be fed for life. If you ever teach this guy how to delineate between truth and error, you won't be able to deceive him anymore. Think about it. If I could train you in how to determine what is true and what is false, you couldn't be deceived anymore. Now, there's a prophecy in the scripture, and it says that there's going to be a deceptive period of time so great that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. So whoever these people called the elect aren't deceivable. Why? Well, then they have to be trained in deception. Now, CIA agents are trained in deception. FBI agents are trained in deception. In fact, policemen, judges, prosecutors, lawyers are all trained in deception. We're all trained out of Wellman on cross-examination, and we're also trained on how to get the truth out. So the Supreme Court delineates that in an obscure case in 1891 called Kwok Ting, the Kwok Ting test, Kwok Ting versus United States. Now, there's only a small portion of the population of the United States, and you can rest assured that for you Australians and New Zealanders and Canadians and you Brazilians and Koreans, the same thing's going on where you live. A small group of people actually understand and are trained in how to decipher the truth from the error, but it's a small minority of people. Because see, if everybody knew, well, then propaganda wouldn't work. If everybody understood what propaganda is and how it works, well, then we'd all be suspicious immediately. Now, I swallowed the initial story on the trade towers because, you know, what else was there to believe? There wasn't any other source of information to compare it with. I mean, after all, the truth of the matter is there's the fire coming out of the top of the building. And then somebody had some videotape, and pretty soon they're starting to show the videotape on CBS. There's the airplane actually hitting the building. All right, so now we've got two pieces of truth. We've got a building on fire, and we see the airplane hitting the building. Now, in my mind, I said, well, that must be an accident. But it occurs at 8 o'clock in the morning on a clear day. And as a pilot, you know, I say to myself, how in the hell could an airplane fly into a building in broad daylight? I mean, at night, in the fog, maybe an airplane, you know, is disabled. Hell, even an airplane that's disabled wouldn't hit that building. That first airplane ran into that building straight and level, straight ahead. I mean, he wasn't coming down, you know, like he'd lost his tail or something, you know, and had no control. All right, so then NOVA comes out and they give a special and they say, well, here's why the Twin Towers collapsed. It was the pancake effect. Well, see, I'm a layman and I don't know anything about pancaking buildings until I saw a videotape and said, well, let's take a look at some buildings that pancake. And then let's take a look at the Twin Towers and let's watch the videotape and let's see, is this a pancake or is this a controlled demolition? Oh, then I could see the difference and I said, oh, this is a controlled demolition because I've seen those before. But you see, initially the propaganda works because you don't know the difference between the two. But once you get the information from both sides, now you apply the Kwok Ting test. Now we apply the 23 modalities for uncovering the truth. Now we have the tools available that we can understand, and now we can sort it out. Hey, hang on, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults. We do that on Compact Desk. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse, recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. But these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors and publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, they could be religious or economic, they may be sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, the management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the book. It's called Warriors of Disinformation. And it's written by Alvin A. Snyder, and you can get a copy to keep them in stock at bravenewbookstore.com. Brave New Bookstore is located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B in Austin, Texas. And the zip code down there is 78705. Brave New Bookstore, their phone number is 512-480-2503. Once more, that's area code 512-480-2503. They have these books in stock. Send it to me to review. I'm glad they did. It's a dynamite book. It's an insider's view of the United States Information Agency, which is the propaganda ministry of the United States. Now, remember that Hitler had a propaganda minister. His name was Goebbels. And Goebbels was running the German Information Agency, the propaganda tool of the government. And we here in the United States, we like to pride ourselves on being the people, you know, who are not propagandized and don't believe lies. And that's something for all the rest of you people in the world to believe in, is lies. And that's the first step. You tell people that they've got the truth, then everybody else is deceived. And that's the principle by which we deceive people religiously. See, each religion says, we've got the truth, and everybody else is deceived. And I learned that when I was in catechism. And our pastor, he told us that if you're a Lutheran, you're going to heaven. If you're not a Lutheran, you're going to hell. So he's using fear. He's using vanity. And he's a liar. And he knew he was a liar when he told us that. Now, there's an old adage in law that says he knew, or he should have known. He knew or he should have known that that was false. Now, you take the truth and you mix it with error, and then you develop your story, and the story needs to be more believable than the truth. The lie needs to be more believable than the truth. Let's take one. Noah's flood. Was it worldwide or was it local? Religious people for the last 150 years have been debating the worldwide versus the local flood. So the first thing that happens is that Charles Lyell comes along and says the flood was local. And they believe in uniformitarianism or uniformitarian geology. And so they go up to the Grand Canyon, they watch the river, they measure it, and they say this river is scouring out the bottom at the rate of 1 inch every 100 years. And that's a true fact. They go out there and they measure that. So then they take a look at the hole in the ground and they say, well, based upon the size of this hole and based upon what we can observe today, therefore we conclude that it took X number of billion years for the water to scour this ditch out. Now, some of that's true. The river is scouring it out at the rate of 1 inch every 100 years. But it's pure speculation that this has been going on for a billion years. And that's because there wasn't any observers there a billion years ago to report back to us or write about it. So the guy comes on and says, well, it's scientific. All right, well, there's some truth in science, but then there's a lot of bad science, and there's a lot of lies that go on in science also. Just like there's a lot of truth in religion, but there's a lot of lies that go on in religion. And that's why your creator says the whole world is deceived. And that's because as soon as you start mixing lies in with the truth, you come up with deception. So there's some truth, then it's mixed with some hypotheses, and then we come up with deception. Now, we have an eyewitness in the Bible, and the eyewitness is God. God is the creator, and he wrote an affidavit, and he said, I'm going to swear by myself because there's none higher to swear by than me. Then he told you not to swear at all because you can't tell the truth. So the guy that can tell the truth swore to it, and he recorded it as an eyewitness and said, I was there, let me tell you what happened. Now, based upon your experience, you see, you've seen floods. So you know what a flood can do. You know that it's very powerful and it causes a lot of death and destruction. But you've never seen a worldwide flood. And some questions are very craftily raised, like, well, gee, where'd all the water come from? And by asking these questions, we create doubt. Yea, has God said that if you eat off of that tree, you will surely die? Yeah, that's what he told us. Well, he's lying to you. So what we do is we create doubt. We raise doubt in your mind. So you got to find this guy guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt. If you have a reasonable doubt, then you got to find him innocent. All right, so we first create a doubt. Now we create a plausible story. That the writers of the Bible were old guys that were not trained in science like we are today. So they appeal to your vanity. See, today we're smarter than these people were in olden days because we've got science and they didn't. And this was a local flood that just occurred in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. And we've raised doubt, we've appealed to your vanity, and a local flood is believable, but a worldwide flood is unbelievable. Now, the truth is, the flood was worldwide, and the Grand Canyon is the evidence of a worldwide flood. You couldn't dig a ditch like that without having lots of water. But you see, you can't conceive of that or believe it because it's beyond your experience. And so the lie that it's a local flood as opposed to a worldwide flood is more believable. So more religious people believe that the Bible in Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9 is a lie, that it's not true. Now, we come along and we build on that. Well, now since the worldwide flood was a lie, you can't trust any of the Bible. You have to really critically examine all of the Bible because we found that lie. So now let's go back to the creation. So here in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we have the creation. You know the story of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's way beyond your ability. I mean, you can't conceive of somebody being powerful enough that he could create all of the universe out there, and he could create the earth and all of the life forms on it. And then what really is unbelievable, he did the whole thing in 6 days. And that's because you can't do it. You don't know of anybody else that can do that. And so it's beyond your comprehension that somebody else could do that. Now we throw in a little doubt. And we say, well, you can fly an airplane. And you know of people that can build airplanes. And so we know that we can invent and we can create and we can produce. But nobody could invent, create, and produce something as big as this universe. And then we throw one more kicker in. Well, you know, these 7 days of creation, you know, could be 1,000-year periods because there's a place in the Bible that says 1,000 years is like a day and a day is like 1,000 years to God. Well, that makes all the sense in the world. So we go to the Bible and we cite that off point and out of context. It's not talking about the creation. It's talking about God's perspective concerning time. And so then we apply it to the creation and we suggest, here comes the power of suggestion, that maybe he took 7,000 years to do this. Now, that would be more believable than 7 days. You know, let's be intelligent people. Let's give him, you know, a reasonable amount of time to accomplish this. So the evolutionist says that there is no God, and all of this that you see around you is created or has always existed by itself. There is no God involved. The religious guy comes along. Now, he believes in God, so he's got to put God into the picture. And he says, well, yeah, I can believe in evolution. You see, evolution is the process that God used to create the universe, and he didn't do it in 6 days. He did it in 6,000 years, and a day for a year, and a year for a day, and that fits in with the Bible. And he's just proud as punch that he got some of what he believes from the Bible. The rest of it's pure speculation, false science, and agnosticism and atheism. He puts it all together, and he comes up with creation evolution. He comes up with a virgin whore. All right, now that's part of the propaganda war. See, we don't care whether you're an evolutionist and you believe that there's no God, or whether you're a creationist and you believe there is a God, or that you're a creation evolutionist and believe that God used evolution to create the heavens and the earth. We just want to deceive you. We don't really care how the deception affects you or what the deception that we use is. All we're concerned about is, can we deceive you? And the answer is yes. You can fool all of the people all of the time. And that's exactly what Revelation 12:9 tells you, that the whole world is deceived. It's just that you're not deceiving everybody in the world with the same lie. We use multiple lies to create a false impression so that everybody in the world can take their choice of lies and believe in their own false impression so that nobody understands the truth. But there's a few people that do, because God himself says that there is an elect over here that can't be deceived. Now, Daniel wrote about this. Daniel wanted to know something. And so in Daniel chapter 12, he says to the angel, he's talking to Big Mike here, see? And Big Mike says, well, close up the book and seal it to the time of the end, because the wise will understand, but the wicked will not. So in verse 9, this is Daniel chapter 9, he says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So there's somebody that's going to understand the truth. I would like to be one of them. More than likely, you would like to be one of them. But if I'm going to be one of them, then I have to understand how I'm being deceived. First of all, I've got to grasp the significance of the whole world has been deceived. I took a look at that some years back, and I said, my God, if that's true, then that means I have been deceived. Little Georgie Gordon, the smartest guy in the world. See, to me, I'm the smartest guy in the world. And that's because all of the knowledge that I possess, I have it, and I know about it. And all of the knowledge that you have and you possess, I don't know about it, and I don't have it. So therefore, I can't conceive of you having knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that I don't have because I can't grasp that, can't know about it. In other words, I can't know what I don't know. It sounds like a bizarre twist of words, but it's true. Think about it. I cannot know what I don't know. So therefore, in order for me to know something, well, then it has to come into my mind. Now, if lies come into my mind, deception, if propaganda comes into my mind, well, then that's what I'm going to believe. Just like the trade towers. I saw the airplane hit it. I saw the smoke coming out of it. And then the power of suggestion took over, and they said to me, Arabs did this. Muslims. It's the Muslim terrorists did this. Okay. So I saw the truth, and then the power of suggestion suggested that it was the Muslim terrorists that did it. Why didn't they say, well, it was the Catholic terrorists? How come they didn't say it was the Jewish Mossad? How come they didn't say it was a band of Brazilians? Hell, within 24 hours, they had the names and addresses of the 20 guys that did it. Well, if you can do that in 24 hours, boys and girls, you had to have some advance information. And a cover story. Because, you know, great big airliners like that aren't available to the average Joe Sixpack. So the only place the terrorists could get airplanes would be to hijack airliners. I mean, you can't expect the CIA to say, well, we went over to the Air Force and we picked up a couple, three big old used airplanes over here, crashed them into the building so that we could blame it on the Muslims so that we could take their oil. Because we needed a phony war to jack up our economy, because the economy had already started into recession in March of 2000, so the new Bush administration had to do something. I mean, we can't tell you the truth, kids. I mean, if we sunk the Lusitania because we needed to get America into the war so that we could make profit. Hey, we're flying 007 across the Russian installations because we don't believe they've got the gall to shoot one of them down because it's full of passengers. But now we find out, yeah, the Americans do have the gall to put munitions on a passenger ship and put those passengers into harm's way. Yes, we have learned that the Germans do have the gall to sink a passenger liner and kill innocent civilians in order to destroy those munitions. Yes, we now know that the Americans would use a Korean airliner and that they would spy on the Russians and pretend like it was full of innocent passengers. Yeah, we can see the evil perpetrated by governments, and, you know, maybe it's necessary. I don't know. I'm not here to moralize or tell you that 007 was a bad idea or that the war in Iraq is a bad idea. We need the war in Iraq to stimulate our economy. It's nothing personal for all of you Iraqis over there. You know, we're just looking out for old number one, and that's Joe Sixpack back here in the States. And, you know, our economy is in a dump back in 2000, and we need a war, just like World War II pulled us out of the Great Depression. Okay, well, the Iraq war pulled us out of the recession of 2000. I mean, you know, we've put lots of people to work. We're spending lots of money. We're jacking up our economy. You know, hell, it's benefited everybody in the world. The fact that we had to kill a million Iraqis to do it, well, it's incidental to the overall good of the world and the society. It's nothing personal. It's just money. I mean, hell, we can't come out here and tell people that because, see, a bunch of you people would change your votes if you knew what was really going on. It's kind of like old Disraeli said one time. He said, you know, what goes on behind the scenes is a whole lot more telling than what goes on in the newspapers or what's being reported in the newspapers. So, you know, we don't know what the government's policies are at the highest level. I don't know what George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice were talking about back in 2000. Those are conversations that those people know about that we don't know about. But that doesn't mean that after the fact we can't put two and two together and figure out that, hell, there wasn't any weapons of mass destruction there. So how did they persuade or how did they con us into believing that it was these Iraqis over here that did it? Here's the crazy part of it after the fact. You know, all those hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. You know, you would have thought that if you're going to go to war against anybody, we should be at war with the Saudi Arabians, don't you think? I mean, hell, it was their 20 guys that came over here. So the cover story goes and ran the airplanes into the buildings. Don't you think it was kind of a stretch, and you know, to go to war against the Iraqis when it was the Saudis that did the deed? But here's the craziness of it. You know, you find yourself at war in Afghanistan Was it the Taliban that came over here? Did you have 20 Taliban fighters come over here, grab four airplanes and run them into your buildings? And now we find out that, hell, it wasn't even the Arabs that did it. It was our own government that did it in a false flag operation so that they could blame it on the Arabs so that we could go to war, so that we could steal their oil because they got 25% of the world's oil supply sitting over there in Iraq. You know, if we wanted to spread democracy around the world, don't you think we ought to start in Cuba and North Korea? I mean, you know, just taking a look at democracy, I mean, hell, we could go to Africa and go pick up and beat up on a whole bunch of little African countries over there and spread democracy. Don't you think we ought to go to war against Somalia and bring democracy to Somalia first? I mean, they'd be a hell of a lot easier than those Arabs over in Iraq. I mean, we've had a hell of a tussle over there for 5 years. I think we could go beat up on some Caribbean islands a whole lot easier. I mean, if that's what our goal is, we want to spread democracy. Don't you think? No, it's not just a coincidence that the place that we're trying to spread democracy is in Iraq that has 25% of the oil resources. Again, you know, for all of you Iraqis over there, nothing personal. I mean, we're just over there stealing your oil because you've got a lot of it and we need it. But you see, Americans don't want to say to themselves, they don't want to admit that the reason we're in Iraq is to steal their oil because, you know, Americans don't want to believe that. The truth is harder to believe than the lie that we're there to spread democracy. But hey, the spreading of democracy story, guys, doesn't cut it. When you apply the Kwok-Ting test to it, it doesn't hold water. And that's just where reality's at. All right, now the book again, the place to start here, now it's called Warriors of Disinformation. Warriors of Disinformation, written by Alvin A. Snyder. You put that one under your belt. And don't forget Wellman on cross-examination. That's your second one. Or you could go one, two in the other direction. Wellman on cross-examination, both available, remember, from the good folks at bravenewbookstore.com. Again, that's bravenewbookstore.com. Hey, I'm out of time again, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information, then please go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the law hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these law hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the law hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.